Welcome to episode 252 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, I hope you all had a lovely Christmas and are making the most of your time in between now and the new year. For me, it's a period of general admin, thinking ahead to and planning for the next 12 months, and of course, slowly polishing off Christmas leftovers. Now, in the previous show, I mentioned that I recently took a trip up country to Wales with Mercedes-Benz. And as promised, I'm now taking the opportunity to share a few insights about those couple of days away and, of course, the photography involved. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 252. It is just after 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Had to think for a second there. And it is the day after Boxing Day. So it's one of those funny times, you know. I'm kind of raring to go for the new year, but equally I'm still just a little bit laid back, a little bit tired, a little bit full of the joys of Christmas, all the food, and, you know, it's been relaxing, but it's been a lot of rushing around and, you know, thinking about family and all the usual stuff that goes with it. So, yeah, this time of year this week, shall we say, is a kind of a funny one because it's a time to kind of think back to the year that's just about to finish, thinking forwards to the year ahead, all the things that I want to achieve and all that sort of thing. And so today I'm having a bit of a something and nothing day, which is fine. It's kind of an admin day. It's a sort of catching up. It's, you know, I'm still in two minds whether I should be having all the time off until New Year, or whether I should just be hitting it and, you know, whatever. I never quite get it right in my own head, but I'm pretty happy at the moment. So here's the thing. In the previous episode of the podcast, just before Christmas, I alluded to the fact that I had gone away for a couple of days up country to Wales, and I was up there with Mercedes-Benz looking at the new X-Class. And it was really good, sort of a road trip, a chance to have a look at and test and drive the car and all this sort of thing. But my focus, of course, was there to shoot pictures for myself and opportunities that went along with that, and record podcast stuff and do Instagram stories and all the things that you would expect me to do. So I did say that I would talk through the process. It's a couple of weeks ago now, so I'm working from the best of my ability to just to delve into my memory. But what I do have is Adobe Bridge set up in front of me. And just to give you some sort of an idea, I had my usual camera set up. I'll talk about more in a minute. But of course, I was really pushing the behind the scenes stuff. So for that, I had my iPhone, obviously, and I had my compact camera, which is still currently a Canon G7X. All the links will be in the show notes to various kit and links to anything else I might mention along the way. But behind the scenes stuff, looking at my computer here, I can see that I've got somewhere in the region of 260 files. Now, that is a mix of video clips, still pictures, like I say, both off the G7X and off my iPhone. That is in process at the moment. If you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen just before Christmas, I was quite heavy on putting out regular updates about the trip. You will have seen a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And in fact, let me just have a quick look on my phone here. I'm just going to dip into Instagram. And yeah, and just reminding myself, really, just refreshing my memory here. So yeah, there was, you know, there was some nice sort of scenics. There was shots of me taking pictures. There was my computer set up in the hotel room. You know, me with the car in the background and, you know, the usual stuff. But in terms of the actual, what you might call proper pictures, shall we say, the stills that I very deliberately crafted, well, within that folder, I have 159 files. Now, of course, that's not 159 pictures of the car in the landscape, or that sort of thing. There is, and I'm just going to very quickly skip through there, there's some shots, you know, of the inside of the car as we were driving along, because I was in the back seat. There's, like I say, shots of the car with the wonderful Welsh countryside behind. Had a bit of snow at the time. It had been a bit heavier in the week or the few days before I went up there. But, yeah, it's kind of varied, locations. And I thought what I'd do is just talk through, you know, a lot of you will know if you're regular listeners, from time to time I do look back at a recent shoot, just to give you an insight into the process. So first of all, I've got Adobe Bridge here and I've got the behind the scenes folder loaded up. So I'm just going to skip up to the top of this folder. And the first pictures are, well, actually some movie footage was from the very first day. Now, this started at around about 6 o'clock in the morning. My good friend, Tom Kent, I'll link to him in the show notes. He's a musician and he does car reviews and all that sort of thing. You will have heard me talk about him. He picked me up in his car, 6 o'clock, nice and early, and we basically made it in, apart from a quick stop and go to get a coffee to have in the car, we basically did it in one go with maybe a, I don't know, maybe 10-minute break, if that. So pitch black, it was rainy, it was, you know, sort of all the headlights. It was quite atmospheric, I suppose. It's quite nice. But that would be the opening sequence to my behind the scenes video. Now, I am working on that at the moment. And as it stands, I'm around about a minute and a half into that video. I couldn't tell you at this point how long it's going to be. Usually my behind the scenes video range anywhere from 3 minutes to maybe 10 minutes. It depends on the subject, the nature of it, and how much detail I go into. So that was just the opening as we were driving along the motorway. And it was, you know, getting lighter, just skipping through the pictures here. And this is a mixture of, at this point, my behind the scenes camera actually was in the boot of the car. So, I did a bit of, video filming on my phone, some shots, which then got shared onto Instagram stories. And then the first shot, which actually features the X-Class, is basically, we arrived at RAF Cosford and, we were basically all set to go. We were introduced, told about what was going to be happening, and then we're taken over to the car that we were going to be spending the next couple of days in. And the one that we had was a very nice, very understated, just a black, shiny black thing. Really, really nice. It was a bright, sunny day, blue sky, puffy white clouds, and it just stood out really nicely. So we had a quick look around, and then in we get, head off up the motorways, and that's how it went, and on it went, and on and it went, until we found our first location, which, from memory, was by a castle. Now, forgive me, I can't remember at this point the name of the castle, but it was sort of within the grounds, up slightly up one of the, I say a private track. We didn't actually drive all the way up this private track, but we just backed the car up a little bit. It was on a bit of an incline, and it just gave a really nice setup for the first few shots. We took this as being an opportunity. Obviously, it was like a road test. I had Tom there, and then another motoring journalist was with us. So he was getting his thoughts together. Some of the pictures are going to be shared with him, as well as going to, other places. So my setup here was a Nikon D800. And the first shot, behind the scenes shot I've got here, is that camera with the 24-70 f2.8. Really nice wide to medium length zoom there. And it was just, I took this shot on my phone of essentially my view from behind the camera. Nothing fantastic, but it gave sort of a setting with sort of a framework to tell people, you know, where we were and all that sort of thing. And then one of the guys took a picture of me sort of crouching down in some the undergrowth, and you know, it was the first location, so we were kind of just warming to the car, warming to, you know, just sharing a few thoughts, and it was really good opportunity to share the Instagram stories, and I've got those all saved, and maybe at some point I will actually dig them out again and compile them into another little video. We'll have to see. So, you know, we covered various angles. I switched to an 80 to 200 f2.8 as well, just to throw the background out of focus a bit more. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm just going through the behind the scenes shots, because this is kind of the, at this point, this is the most important thing, I think. And once I've gone through there, I'll open up the other folder and look at the, should we say, the proper pictures, if that makes sense, and I'll talk a bit about those. So, you know, we kind of skipped around. I'm just going to change the order of these pictures, not by file name, date created, so that's going to shift them all around a little bit. There we go. And yeah, so, you know, back on the road again, there's footage of the hillsides going by and the view looking down towards the driver's position, mountains in the background. And then we found this point on a kind of a winding, it was not exactly a mountain road, but yeah, a winding road at the foot of a steep hillside with steep hills and a valley sort of over to one side. And absolutely conveniently, there was a lay-by. Just as we came round one corner and went forward a few hundred yards, there was this lay-by. So we pulled over, nothing fancy, just turned the front wheels to create a bit of shaping, a bit of angle there. And we just walked around, did a few shots, and it was all very, very kind of informal, very relaxed. And it was a case of, you know, they were there for their purpose, reviewing the car. I was there to get the shots. And to me, as important as the car is, you have to give some sort of extra weight to the pictures. You have to give some sort of a context. And bear in mind, the X Class is a, you know, it's a pickup. It's a more rugged vehicle designed for rougher terrain. And in fact, later in the 2 days, I actually drove it off road, and it's great fun. Very clever, some of the technology involved. But you know, there needed to be something within these shots that suggested the rugged nature of this vehicle. For those of you that are interested and you know the Nissan Navara, basically the same thing. If you think of what a Navara looks like, the X-Class is just a, you know, it's a different breed, but it's a very, very similar vehicle. So, opportunity for a few quick selfies just to spread the word on social media. And the timeline by this point, let's have a look. Where are we? Can I see the time date on it? Oops. Yeah, now we're around about sort of 2 o'clock, that sort of thing. So, you know, driving around, stopped off for lunch. And then by this point, it wasn't getting dark, of course, but the light was ever so slightly starting to fade. And at this point, we found ourselves at the off-roading area that had been set up and arranged for the visiting journalists and photographers. And it was a really good spot, very windy. The other guys were getting quite cold. I was there in my Sub-Zero down jacket. I was lovely and warm. I don't have any hair on the top of my head, but I didn't wear a hat. It wasn't that cold. Maybe I'm just used to it, because looking by the expressions on the other guys' faces, it was clearly quite a cold afternoon. But there's some nice shots of me, actually, and some footage of me kind of scrambling up this rock to get a different vantage point, looking down at the car and across to the car. And there is a picture or a series of pictures actually showing the car. You know, it's very easy to think, here's the car in the landscape, boom, take a photo just there. And it doesn't really do anything. It's a car in on a grassy knoll. It's nothing special. But when you start to look around you, you start to explore a bit. That's when you start to get more interesting pictures. And one of the series of shots I got, actually, and we'll come to this in a while, one of the shots was with this, you know, rocky sort of, how can I put it? It's like a series of rocks that went up a bit. And you know, I did the shots from the top and they're okay because I shot wide on the 24 to 70 and it opened up the landscape and the sky was quite moody looking and this sort of thing. There wasn't a lot of contrast, which is rather good because I'm looking forward to that being able to inject that sort of thing myself in the post-production, the editing stage, to bring out the textures and not have to worry too much about the sky burning out. By this time it was quite cloudy and quite white, but it wasn't, you know, burning out too much. But then I dropped down alongside this rocky outcrop, and actually the car became a smaller feature within the frame by the time it was framed and bordered by the rock. And one of the guys, you know, especially picked up on this, and clearly just from the view on the back of the screen it's been very well received, so I look forward to actually working the final image of that. And of course in due course I will send you links to these pictures so you can see what I'm talking about. I dare say they will also feature in the behind the scenes video, so when you see me, for example, scrambling up a rock and crouching down lining up a shot, there will then be the final picture as it appears in the final edit, and it will give you the context and then the final results. So that was on the way up to this kind of where the land sort of leveled off. I then did a bit of off-roading, driving my way back down the track. It was really good. And there's some behind-the-scenes footage of me doing that, which is really good. I enjoyed that. Now where are we? So we did that, so dropped back down. Then it was after a few conversations and everything, we were back on the road. And by this point, we kind of looked at some other spots before we finally settled for the evening. It was about, let's have a look, 4:30. Yeah, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, we finally arrived at the hotel. And you can probably guess the first thing that I did, being a committed photographer, is I dragged up my Pelly 1510 case, got my camera out, got my laptop out, and backed up all of my images, all of my footage, twice. Once onto the well, essentially, it was backed up twice. It remained on the memory cards, but then it was on the computer. Sometimes I have a third way of backing up. I'll have an external drive. But on this occasion, I was happy that, you know, there was enough coverage because stuff would be with me all the time. It was, you know, not likely to get dropped in a river or dropped down a mountainside or anything like that. So I was pretty happy that it was safe. And sure enough, it was. So did that, quick shower, down to dinner, and it was a very nice evening. Some very nice food, some nice drinks, and more importantly, some very nice company. So for those of you that I have met from those couple of days, it was very nice meeting you. Thank you to all concerned in the PR team and Mercedes-Benz for hosting such a really, really nice event. It's everyone that I spoke to had a really nice time, and it was just nice to be so hands-on with the vehicles. So that was basically finished off the night. I sort of had a fairly late night. The next morning, looking at the next shot, which is a snap on my iPhone, the time on it was 7 something, I believe. Well, this one was about 10 to 8, this particular snap, and the sun still wasn't up above the mountainous horizon. And where we were staying at Port Merion, we were right alongside the water here, and it was so still, and there was this lovely rich sunrise blues and pinks and purples in the sky. And the sun was slowly coming up and the reflections were great. So I did a time lapse on my phone, which I shared. If I had thought about it, because of course we arrived in the dark and I had no, I had no frame of reference to where exactly we were going to be and that sort of thing. If I'd known, I might have kind of got up earlier to maybe do a bit of extra time lapse or something. But actually, I caught it, I reckon, just at the right time, because, you know, 10 to 8 in the morning, it just still being mostly dark was incredible. But here's an interesting thing. So I put my iPhone on to charge the previous night and promptly fell asleep. So it was on charge and still plugged in overnight. And when I woke up, it was obviously at 100% charge. So I saw this scene and I wanted to get a time lapse. And I set it up on a little Manfrotto tabletop tripod. It was a sash cord window, so I pulled that up, placed the iPhone on the windowsill, pulled the window down as far as I could to keep the cold out, and set it up to record the time lapse, and then pulled the curtains across. Well, I reckon that it probably lasted about 14 minutes before the phone died. The battery just went flat. That probably gives you some indication of how cold it was alongside the water. Like I said, I still got a good sequence. And even by the time it was ready to go down to breakfast and all this sort of thing, the sun still hadn't completely come up. And in fact, there's another shot. If I just skip down here, there's another shot when I was sat down at breakfast at 8:40. It was still quite dark outside. So, you know, really interesting light. But then when I was still in my room, I saw in the distance a mountaintop with snow. And I was waiting for the sun to hit it. And unfortunately, it didn't hit it before the time that I had to go downstairs to have my breakfast. But I still got a few shots there. Still really nice. And just to push the boundaries a bit, and if I'm honest, couldn't be bothered to get my big tripod out. I had my Gitzo Series 2 Traveler. Couldn't be bothered to get that out and set it up. I decided to use that same tabletop tripod, the Manfrotto, with one leg slightly protruding out of the window frame, the other two on the windowsill, with my D800 with the battery grip on the bottom, so quite a big body by this point, with the 80-200 mounted, of course, using the lens collar to keep the centre of gravity and the balance right. And I was able to get sharp shots at 200mm in this lowish light, photographing something in the distance. Now, these tabletop tripods, I'm trying to say that more clearly, tabletop tripods are not designed for really big heavy weights, but it, you know, it held up. It's really, I do believe in pushing equipment as much as you can to see just, you know, especially like this, if it's on review, you have to use it and push it and see in your hands, in your line of work and your activities, how it fares. And it was great. So I got an extra shot, even though I was just being a bit lazy, not taking out my proper heavy duty tripod. So just skipping to the last few shots, you know, it's the morning sequences as we're kind of just walking, getting into the car and off we go, back in the back of the car, looking through. And it was, you know, a little bit white, a little bit grey, just finding some other locations. We stopped in like an approach turning to a farmer's, I think it was up to a farmer's field or something. It was really nice off the main carriageway. Really nice mountains in the background. I'll talk about some of those images in a minute. Something sticks out from that. But then, you know, just there's all just behind the scenes footage. Then by about, where are we? About 12:30 in the afternoon, we were back at base, as it were, to return the car, and did a few shots. I didn't do so much there, but Tom needed to get some footage for his video, So I was kind of obviously with him whilst we did that. Our colleague Ben had already gone at this point, and I of course was travelling back with Tom. So I did a quick Insta story just to update people. Then we were back in the car, and the last shot behind the scenes here is at 3:30, so we're still on the road at that point, just as the sun was starting to drop lower in the sky. So, you know, a bit of a potted history of the behind the scenes. I'm just going to open up the folder with what I would call the proper shots. Now, when I say proper, I mean shots where I was thinking more deliberately about the pictures. The exposures were much more considered. The composition was more considered. And I was thinking in terms of feature pictures, as you can imagine, sort of thinking about the layouts, the composition, how the pictures would look on a, say, on a web page or on a printed page. You know, just all the, regardless of where they may or may not end up in the future, just thinking about making them very well thought out pictures. And that even extended to the shots that were taken from the back seat of the X-Class, which is where I spent most of my time as we were going along. So, just got a quick grab shot of the car just as we were loading up. And then, you know, we were taking off. And, of course, these are all RAW files on the D800. I had my D3 with me as well, still using a D3. Didn't come out of the case, but it's very good, as you know. I've said many, many times, very good at low light. But views looking, changing the focus point to either the dash of the car, the dashboard there, with like the sat nav or the steering console, switching between that and the landscape that was beyond, you know, down the road, changing around the exposure. So, for example, in one sequence here, I've got something which is at ISO 200, f/2.8, with a focus on the mountain in the distance in front of us. It was very, very bright, so the exposure compensation was dialed down at ISO 200 and f/2.8. It was dialed down to minus two f-stops, but still giving an 800th of a second. And then another, you know, shot here, just two or three frames along, just a matter of maybe a minute or so, or 30 seconds as I was adjusting the exposure. In this occasion, just to, you know, because there was that mountainside with the snow on it in the distance, I really wanted to, yeah, you don't want to be blowing your highlights. That was my priority here. So it's at f/2.8 again, still at ISO 200, 1600th of a second with a minus three f-stops exposure compensation. And it just, there was still detail. I can bring out detail within the interior of the car. Nothing, you know, it's not like a prize winning picture. It's not anything spectacular. But it just sets the scene. It creates, you know, the view that I'm going to put together a blog post that talks about the trip. It might be mostly picture based, but this is all important, and it sets the scene. So we've got a range of these pictures with varying scenery, and then we get to this castle that I mentioned, and there's some deer walking free, which is lovely. And we just kind of drove around to find our spot, and there were, let's see, oh crikey, so how many have we got in line here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12, 18, 19, 21, 2. There are about 22 pictures that I took variously between sort of a three-quarter shot, just as an initial shot reference, just getting a sense of how bright the scene was. At this point, we are at f/8, ISO 500, and a 60th of a second. Loads of detail. For those of you interested, the dimensions of the frame here are 7,360 by 4,912, and it is a 49.17 megabyte file, so not insubstantial, but loads of detail in there. And, you know, that was shot with the 24 to 70. I won't look at all the various metadata too deeply, but I know that that was the lens there. But then I switched to my 80 to 200, which was really nice because we had this kind of like, what would it be? Sort of like brambles and long grasses and stuff. But it just really set a much more interesting scene that with the old sort of gnarly old trees behind and sort of like it dropped down and yeah, the distance behind there, the snow, it really set more of a scene and context and made a much more interesting picture shot from lower down, but not too low, because I didn't want too much of the sky, but using that out of focus. I mean, this is an f6.3 even so, and it still threw the, just enough through the foreground foliage out of focus. I could have had it much more out of focus, but I just needed to, you know, if it was just a load of blur, it wouldn't really kind of give you what you wanted. It would be too much. The important thing, of course, whenever you're working with brands and logos and names and people and all this sort of thing, you want to make sure that the brand and the important details are very clear. So if you're going to do this, make sure that the badge on the front of the car, or wherever it might be, make sure that's very visible. It's not hiding behind a leaf or anything like that. So, you know, just changed around the angles, changed around the exposure a little bit. Very sharp. That where there was snow on the ground, a lot of reflected light was being bounced around. And, you know, it really made everything really pop. And it's as a raw file, as a starting point, it's given me a lot to work with. So I'm really looking forward to editing through these pictures. The reality is I'll probably, with each various scenario, I may only have one or two shots that I choose to use. It may be that I just, as is the process, you might think, do you know what? I don't really need to include that picture from that sequence. The others are much stronger, and that's what it is. It might be that I do edit it, but it never goes any further than that. It just stays on my hard drive. So just finish off the sequence, yeah, sort of like three quarters from the other side. So to, as you look at the car, just to the left-hand side, the wheels were quite straight on at this point. The front wheels, they weren't turned to inject some sort of shape or angle, but, you know, it would have looked a bit odd because frankly you can see that it's sat on a track, like a private road track with grass, sort of like grassy bit in the middle and either side, and it would have looked odd sort of really to have the wheels turned on this occasion. So that was good. I'm not going to go into loads of detail. I've kind of already covered it a lot for the when I was talking about the behind the scenes, so it's quite a bit of detail then. And I'm very aware that I don't want this to be a really long podcast. We might end up capping the whole show to about 40 minutes on this occasion. So slightly longer than usual. But, you know, as we were driving along, you know, it's a wonderful skill trying to hold the camera steady in a car that's bouncing around and me on the back seat. And getting shots of like a mountainside out through the window, or using the frame of the window and the structure of the car to frame the surrounds. But, you know, we get to this lay-by. The light had dropped at this point. Bit of light striking the snowy hill in the background. But I dropped the exposure down. It was ISO 640, f6.3, and minus a third of an f-stop. So just to bring it down a little bit. Even so, still giving me a thousandth of a second. It was pretty windy. I needed to hand hold because we were kind of constantly on the go here. I didn't bother with the tripod. I just wanted to handhold, and the noise, the graininess of the picture wouldn't be a problem. I knew that. But, you know, just set the car up and just playing around with where it appeared in the frame. You got the it's in a lay-by, and the hills in the background and a cottage. Lovely. There's like a bollard at the side of the road, which doesn't interfere with the line of the car, but it's kind of a bit distracting, so that's fine. We can take that out and recompose and all this sort of thing. That'll be fine. But just seeing the shape of the car, this very modern, very sleek lines of the car, set within the very organic, rugged, natural environs of the of nature, of the hillside. So again, just experimenting and changing the angle, moving a bit closer to and further away from the car so that we start to get more of the kind of the land, the valley below in the frame. Some work better than others, of course, that's just the way it goes. But, you know, I won't make my decision now as to which would be the final cut here. I'll wait until I see them big individually and give them the consideration they need. So at this point, just a few outtake shots of the front of the car. Nothing spectacular. Tailgate, which by this point was pretty dirty. You know, just some nice shots. Then as we're just driving along, this lovely sun breaking through and catching the top of the mountain with the sort of the fields below, just shot from the car at ISO 640th of a second. And then we get to the off-roading section and, you know, up close with the car with the headlights on because the light was dropping down. And of course, it's muddy. It shows it's rugged. It's kind of this expansive land. And you can see that cars have driven around on this green area and because it shows marks, the tracks and everything. Just playing around. Sometimes a shot just doesn't quite work and you just keep working through it. Then I pulled away on, with the 2470 from up higher on this rock formation. That was quite nice. Then I dropped down lower and the rocks, as I said, created this natural kind of frame and played around with how the car looked. And it's really nice just changing the scale. And, you know, you don't have to have the car. Depends on the nature of the picture. If it's a commercial shoot, of course, you have the art director, the creative director, whoever, the PR, marketing people there that have a certain vision in their head that they need to execute on, and that's fine. But as a photographer, it's your job to think creatively, to offer suggestions, solutions to how you might get around it. And this was a shot that no one had really, well, no one in our little group had seen. I don't know if anyone else did, but you know, it started to work really nicely. So, you know, I took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots with that rock formation there, and it worked really nicely. So again, that'll be nice to work on, just to give something a bit different. Then we did a few more of the car just on the ground, which is fine, just, you know, fairly straight on, you know. And that was kind of it. Let me just see, that was kind of the last shots, I believe. Bear with me. So we, at that point, we then sort of drove back. Bear with me. Yeah, so this is just sort of, you know, hillsides and all that sort of thing. I mentioned the shots where we used a farmer's turn-in road. The most interesting shot there was a really wide shot again with the now hang on, let me just check camera data. Let me just check. So focal length was 70mm, so it was the 24-70, so quite wide at this point. Very stark hillside behind with the snow and the white sky. Have to work that image a bit, but just this car in between two banks of land there. That worked really well. But again, another shot just dropping down with some rocks in the right. On this occasion, before it was the left, here it was a right-hand corner, just to lead the eye in. Those of you that, you know, think in terms of the rule of thirds, where you compose, where you put your subject, all these techniques, all these little tricks, that's what brings out the story, the dynamic shaping within a picture. You can make it sound as la-di-da-di and arty-farty as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really boring to have a very straight-on picture unless you are doing what is very obviously a boom, here is the car or the subject, absolutely square on, just because it is just like, almost like an abstract. That works very well. A lot of motoring photography, not just motoring, but, you know, does that. You see this a lot. And it works very well because what you're then working with, you are reducing the subject to its purest form. You're not worried so much about the sleek lines around the length of a vehicle or you know, the product or the vehicle. It could be a mountain bike, for example, as a whole. It's just like reducing it to this front on, very linear outline of this one aspect. But this was not one of those occasions. This was using the landscape to really show the car in context. And that was it. A couple of grab shots, a few as we were driving along, and that was the last sort of the last few shots, my proper shots, as it were. I think that's going to do it, don't you? I hope that's given you a good insight, bit of a whirlwind tour. I've probably missed various things out, and you may well have questions. If you do, as ever, I'm more than happy to answer anything about any of the stuff that's gone in here, from the equipment or the logistics of working in the cold or being outdoors or the clothing that I use to keep warm or, oh, I don't know, all manner of considerations. If you've got any questions, anything you want to know, of course, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. As ever, keep an eye out for further updates about the Mercedes-Benz trip across all social media platforms, as I'll be sharing more behind-the-scenes content shortly. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.